माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना तीर जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद भाई चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की श्री वृंद देवी गंगा देवी जमुना देवी भक्ति देवी की श्री वृंदावन धाम की मथुर धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की श्री द्वारका पुरी धाम की श्री अयोध्या पुरी धाम की श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी मंदिर की श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की श्री 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 जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्र देवी सुदर्शन चक्र की श्री श्री गौरनीताय की हरि नाम संकीर्तन की गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल समावेत भक्त वृंद की समावेत भक्त वृंद की समावेत भक्त वृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले Thank you. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudhirayet. Nashta Praishu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatityuttamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Srimad Bhagavatam Skanda 8, Adhyaya 24, Shloka 6. Uchavacheshu Bhuteshu. Charan Vayuri Veshwaraha. No Chavachat. Tvam bhajate nirgunatvad dhiyo gunaihi uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayuriveshwaraha no chavachat Tvam bhajate nirgunatvad dhiyo gunaihi katyatam uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayuriveshwaraha No chavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhiyo gunaihi uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayuriveshwaraha No chavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhiyo gunaihi uchchavacheshu bhuteshu charan No chavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhiyo gunaihi uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayuriveshwaraha Nochchavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhiyo gunaihi uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayuriveshwaraha No chavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhiyo gunaihi. Anyone else? Take a chance. No? Yeah, take a chance. Uchavacheshu bhuteshu charanvayurivesvaraha no chavachatvam bhajate nirgunhatvadhyogunaihi. What about our grandfathers here? Uchavacheshu bhuteshu charanvayurivesvaraha no chavachatvam bhajate nirgunatvadhyogunaihi. Barmaji, aap prayatna kijiye? Nahi? Hare Krishna. Jabardasti se nahi. Padapataha, reading the words. Uccha avacheshu. Having higher or lower bodily forms. Bhuteshu. Among the living entities. Charan. Behaving. Vayuhu eva. Exactly like the air. Ishwaraha. The Supreme Lord. Na, not uccha avachatvam. The quality of higher or lower grades of life. Bhajate, accepts. Nirgunatvat, because of being transcendental above all material qualities. Dhiyaha, generally, gunaihi, by the modes of material nature. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the modes of material nature, he is unaffected by higher and lower forms. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam. Or it should be really, Mayadhyakshena prakritis suyate sacharacharam, due to Sandhi. Because in the middle of the sentence. Therefore, being the supreme controller of the laws of nature, the Lord cannot be under their influence. An example given in this regard is that although the wind blows through many places, the air is not affected by the qualities of these places. Although the air sometimes carries the odor of a filthy place, the air has nothing to do with such a place. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being all good and all auspicious, is never affected by the material qualities like an ordinary living entity. Purushaf prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan. Bhagavad Gita 13:21. When the living entity is in the material nature, he is affected by its qualities. Disrespectfully, one who does not know this considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an ordinary living being. Avajananti mamudha param bhavamajanantaha. Such a conclusion is reached by the unintelligent because they are unaware of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So the Christians say that, you know, the Hindus worship a sinful God. He has so many girlfriends. Krishna had so many gopis. Every morning we're singing, right? Nikunjayuno Rati Keli Siddhyai. You know what that means? Many devotees don't even know, isn't it? Rati Keli, what is Rati Keli? Pastimes of love. Who is Rati? Who can answer this question? Srimati Radharani? Wrong. You don't win the million today. You won a few million yesterday, so you have plenty of money. You don't need any more. Who is Rati? You should know. Wow. I'm trying to make it a little lighthearted here. Who's Rati? Grandfather Bhishma? I mean, Jitendriya Prabhu? Can't say. Rati Manjari, no. Again, it's two strikes. You get one more chance, three strikes, and you're out. Gopis, maybe. You're out with one strike. You're looking on the internet, cheating. The spiritual master. Rati is another name of Cupid. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Kandarpa. Who is Cupid? The god of love. Nikunjayuno Rati Keli. What is Keli? Come on, Varmaji, Keli bataye. Ye lokon ko Keli ka arth kya hai? Kel. Kel rahe hai. Keli, playing. Rati Keli, the play of Cupid. What does that mean? I cannot spell it out. Because we follow four regulative principles very strictly. That doesn't mean that the obvious meaning is there. Nikunjayuno. What does it mean? You're singing every morning. Who goes to Mangalarati here? I didn't go the last 2 days. I'm guilty. Every day you go, every day you sing this. Nikunjayuno Rati Keli. What, you know what is the Nikunj? Mataji? No. It's a grove, right? Bushes. Right, and in the bushes, what happens in the bushes? Rati Keli, playing the love play. Yeah, you can say love play, that's the gentlemanly way, right? Conjugal, Prabhupada used the word conjugal affairs. Am I correct? I'm not saying anything offensive or wrong. I'm telling the truth. Nikunjayuno Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He wrote the Guru Vashtakam, prayers about the Guru. Nikunjayuno Rati Keli, playing in the bushes between gopis and Krishna. Conjugal affairs. Siddhyai, perfect, perfected. It is not material. That word, the insertion of that word meant that it was not the material playing. It was not somebody who drove down to, what is that street, Lincoln Avenue, and rented a room in a motel for 1 hour for Rati Keli. We were with one, Krishna Rati Keli, Devi Dasi. I don't know if you know this Mataji. She used to live near Carbondale, Illinois. Now she's moved further south. And a Motel Patel, right? But she's initiated. First she was initiated by Kirtanananda. Now she's reinitiated by Vedavyas Priya Maharaj. So she was telling us that in Memphis, they rent the rooms for 1 hour. We don't do that dirty business here. But in Chicago, I know they rent the rooms for 1 hour in some motels. Nikunjayuno Rati Keli, not Motelayuno Rati Keli. Because the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, so they say that your God is a dirty God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. Silence. Who knows the Shikshastakam here? you know. Yathatatava vidadhatu lampato. Lampat, aap bata sakte lampat ka arth kya hai? Lampat shabd aapne suna ne? Hindi shabd hai. It's a Hindi word. It's a Sanskrit word. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used this word to address Lord Krishna. You debauchee. That's what lampat means, debauchee. Someone who's playing with many women. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote in the Shikshastaka. You know that? Did you know that? Aslishyava padaratam pinashtumam. Whether you embrace me or whether you kick me. Adarshanat marmahatam karotuva. Or whether you show yourself to me or not. This is the last verse of the Shikshastakam. Aslishyava, whether you embrace me. Padaratam. Pada is foot, ratam, kicking me by your foot. Adarshanat marmahatam, or you harass me by not showing yourself to me. Yatatatava, whatever. Vidadhatu lampato. Lampat shabda, he used the word lampat. You, this debauchee, Krishna, vidadhata, the Lord, Mat prananathas tu sa eva naparaha. He is the Lord of my life. Prananath. Natha is Lord. Prana is life. Life air. So the Christians, there was a case. This is a true story in Poland. But the devotee had left ISKCON. Tusta Krishna Swami. You might have heard his name. There's actually a very interesting letter from Prabhupada to him that crushes this so-called Ritvik bogus concept, Ritvik initiation. You've heard of that, right? It's a total nonsense idea that the guru goes on initiating after he passes away. There's no sampradaya, no Vaishnav sampradaya, no Mayavadi sampradaya that believes in such a bogus concept. So Prabhupada wrote a letter to this Tusta Krishna. And in the letter he said that after the guru disappears, then you can start accepting disciples. This is the law of disciplic succession. The Ritviks, they don't, so-called Ritvikists, propounding this idea, they don't want to accept that. It's called denial, right? Anyway, there's a lot of denial going on about Prabhupada's instructions. Clear instruction. The law of disciplic succession. Same Tusta Krishna was preaching in Poland. Poland is a Catholic country. And one girl joined Tusta Krishna's little group at the time. This is years and years and years ago. And so the mother of that girl went to her local nun in the Catholic, you know, church. The nuns are there. My daughter has joined this Hare Krishna. And I want her back. Let's go to the court. So the nun and the mother went to the court against Tusta Krishna. He was called to the court. So in the court, Your Honor, the nun said that these people are worshiping a god who has many wives and has many girlfriends. This is a bogus religion. Bring the girl should be given back to her mother. Girl wasn't a tiny girl. She was a grown-up lady. Right? Young. Must have been. I don't know all the exact details. So the judge said, well, what do you have to say to this? To Tusta Krishna. So he said, ask this nun what vow she took when she became a nun. So the judge said, what vow did you take? So the nun said, I can't say, it's secret. So Tusta Krishna said, I know what it is. That when they become a nun, they vow that Jesus will be my husband. And so, is this true? That the judge asked the nun? She said, well, I can't deny it. Something like that. So then Tusta Krishna said, just see how many wives Jesus has. All the nuns in the world are Jesus' wives. So what is the difference? Case dismissed. This is the story. And you know who told me this story 11 years ago? The head of the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh, Sudarshanji. He passed away. He is no more. This story has gone. The RSS is ruling India today. They know this story. The highest levels of the ruling party. They know that ISKCON is making people into followers of Vedic culture. And they respect that. They respect that. So Lord Krishna's, what the whole purport here is that nirgunatvat, he is beyond the gunas. When a man and a woman conjugate, they come together. In the material world, it's in the mode of passion. Sometimes it's in the mode of ignorance. It's rarely in the mode of goodness. I think even in the Grihya Sutras, when it's described, you know, the Garbhadan Sanskar and all that, there's passion is involved. Men and women don't come together without passion. But here, nirgunatvat is mentioned in the verse. Nirgunatvat. Nirguna. Nir means without. Nasti. Yesterday we had asti and nasti. Nir is without. The gunas means sattva-gun, rajo-gun, and tamo-gun, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the Lord appears as a fish, matsya-avatar. Fish are in the mode of ignorance, right? Fish are in the mode of ignorance. They are living entities, jivas, covered by a body that does not give them sufficient intelligence to understand much except to look for food and mating. In the mode of ignorance and a little passion is there. And no goodness. But when the Lord comes, even though this is the explanation Prabhupada gave and our Acharyas gave that he got it from, is that even if the Lord appears as a fish or as a hog, Varaha avatar, Narsimha, a lion is also a lower form. It's still beyond the modes of material nature. It's beyond sattva-gun, rajo-gun, and tamo-gun. Nirgunatvat, beyond these gunas, beyond these lower modes. So we see most of the people, human beings, even though they have they've been given requisite intelligence to try and understand what is the aim of life, where have we come from, Kastvam kutaha ayata. Who are you? Where have you come from? In the Upanishads. They do not use their intelligence for a higher aim. They use their intelligence to try and enjoy the material nature. And consequently, they're mostly in the mode of passion and ignorance. They're not in the modes of goodness. There's also lower births. Lower births are mentioned. Mam hi partha vyapashritya. Ye pi siu papa yonayaha. When the word yoni comes, womb. So papa yoni. Those who are sinful take a lower birth. That's why someone is born in Siberia. Or as an Eskimo, right? In Alaska. Tribals who live in houses made of ice. It's the most miserable type of existence. And all they can do is try and, you know, shelter themselves. And they don't have much brain substance. They're not much better than animals. Otherwise, they would leave that cold, cold environment and come into the warmth. But they have a tradition of somehow surviving in the miserable cold. So what is that? Animals also survive, right? Up in the cold there. The polar bears, there's wolves. Deer living in the middle of this cold place where it's 12 months cold. How do they do it? Because all they're concerned with is enjoying the material nature. If they were a little more intelligent, they'd, you know, try and find a better place. So the hard struggle for existence in the material world is in all the species of life. The only difference between the humans and these struggling species is that when you come to the mode of goodness, then you try to find out what's the real business of life. What is life meant for? What is the aim of life? So first, one has to become situated in the mode of goodness in order to transcend all the modes, right? Otherwise, you can't transcend the modes. You will be caught up in one of the modes of nature. Those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance, they can't understand. So, although they have religion, the Christians, or the Muslims, the Jews, the Buddhists, they're contaminated by the lower modes. And because of that contamination, they can't understand spiritual life. Prabhupada said that. They can't understand that, you know, there are unlimited souls in unlimited bodies in different forms. They think that only a human being has a soul, or that there's no soul. That's also another form of ignorance, right? Those who think that there's no soul are also ignorant. The atheists, the Gnosticas, the Buddhists, and the Jainas. The Jainas and the Buddhists say that there is no eternal soul. The soul is temporary. The soul is suffering in the material world. And it has to stop all karmic activity. How is that possible also? We say that you engage your activity in the service of Krishna. Krishna says that in the Gita. Mam hi partha vyapashritya. That right there. Mam hi, to me, vyapashritya, surrendering. They can tepiyanti paragatim. They can attain the highest goal. Not that without giving up the fruits of our actions to Krishna, without surrendering to Ishvara. Here the word Ishvara is used, right? Where are we? Uchavacheshu bhuteshu charan vayur iveshvaraha. Eva Ishvara, just like Ishvara. Just like Ishvara is uncontaminated, like Vayuriva. Vayuriva Ishvaraha. Ishwar, the Lord, is like Vayu. The wind blows over so many places. So the Lord, when he incarnates, avatarati, when he comes in the material world, he is not affected by the lower modes of nature that he created. Maya adhyakshena prakriti, Prabhupada quotes. Adhyaksha means presidency, and presidency means control. Maya adhyakshena, by my control, under my control. Maya adhyakshena prakriti, the material energy. So the material energy means goodness, passion, and ignorance, subtle influences. And it also means the gross elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, and mind, intelligence, and false ego. All of these things together are the material nature. This material nature cannot affect the creator of the material nature. Just like a computer programmer creates a program to run a machine, the machine doesn't take over the programmer. It doesn't happen. So this material world is a machine, right? Yantra rudhani mayaya. What's the beginning of that verse? Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. So Ishvara is in everyone's heart. Sarva bhutanam, all living entities, hriddeshe, in the area of the heart, tishtati, situated, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe Arjuna tishtati. Brahmayam Sarvabhutani. And all the living entities are wandering here and there. Yantra Arudha. Arudha means seated on, situated on. Mayaya, the material energy. The material energy is carrying the living entities. Now we are here, and whenever this body is destroyed and the soul goes to another destination, we don't know where, but there are, you know, 14 planetary systems according to the Vedic concept. So anywhere in this material world, the soul may go into a different type of a material body. It is hard to understand. Gahana karmano gatihi. The results of karma are deep and very difficult to understand. And the eye cannot see the soul, just like the scientists cannot see the atom. Till today, they have not been able to see, but they understand it exists, and the technology to, they use it for destruction, right? Or also to generate electricity. There are two uses, right, of atomic energy. One is to destroy by the atomic bomb, and the other is to produce energy. And if that's misused, either of one are misused, a great catastrophe, right? A couple of these nuclear plants, what happened? They malfunctioned, they melted down, and the radiation in the Ukraine, right? There's a place, Chernobyl. And in Japan, it happened due to a flood and a storm. So they cannot see the atom. Similarly, we cannot see the soul. But we know the soul exists because of consciousness. Now, how do we know that Ishvara exists? Well, there are so many logics. But he says in Gita that he doesn't reveal himself to everyone, right? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. So there are two energies of God, antaranga shakti bahiranga, the internal and the external. And because of the internal energy, we cannot see him. External energy, this is his external energy. The question here, how to transcend nirgunatvat, how to go beyond. He is already beyond, but we are not. We are in this body. How did we get this body? Due to past karmas. Sadasad karana gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. There are many births, and in each birth, we get a different body due to sad asad. Sad asad means good and bad due to punya and papa, good action and bad action in the human form. But when you're in another form, there is no punya and papa. There is no good actions and bad actions. All the actions are dictated by nature. So there's no freedom in a sense. There is some freedom. There is some freedom. The animals can run here, fly there, or dig a hole under the ground where they want to. Right? The fish can go where they want to in the ocean. So there is some freedom, but that freedom is limited by the type of intelligence that each life form possesses. And the lower life forms possess less intelligence. This we should understand. Wow. We have a lot of time left. So we're affected by these material nature, material elements. Purusha prakriti stohi. Purushaha prakriti stohi. Bhunkte prakriti jan gunan. So sometimes the living entity is called Purushaha. Sometimes Lord is called Purushaha. Prakriti staha, situated in the material energy. He means certainly, verily. Bhunkte enjoying Prakriti Jan, what is produced, Prakriti Jan Gunan, Jan Prakriti Jan, born of the material nature, Gunan. So the living entities are suffering or enjoying because of their association with the modes of nature. So we see most of the human beings are associating with these lower modes, Rajogun and Tamogun. And so therefore we have these four principles. The four principles are meant to uplift us out of the lower modes, to get out of the ignorance of the lower modes of nature. Without that, then there's no taste for spiritual life. And we can see it practically. You know, you try and... There's even a saying in Gujarati that in front of a buffalo, if you put the Bhagavatam, what will the buffalo know, right? Besagat Bhagavat. You might have heard that. No? You never heard that? It's like a saying. Higher knowledge is meant for advanced human beings. So what is that advancement? That advancement means they gave up the lower modes. They gave up the activities of passion and ignorance, at least to some extent. Prabhupada in his last days was unable to eat. And so he was, you know, if you know the story, how slowly his body deteriorated. And so he made a statement, now I could give up these animal activities, eating and sleeping. So eating and sleeping, even if you eat too much prasad, Prabhupada wrote in the Upadeshamrita, right, his comment, too much prasad is also atyahar. That can also destroy bhakti. In the beginning we encourage, eat a lot of gulab jamuns and eat a lot of prasad. But actually, we are supposed to give it up. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito. This is the six Goswami prayers. Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Nidra, sleeping. Ahar, food. Nidra hara vihara. Vihara means different types of pleasures. Like watching the Cubs win the World Series. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, nidra hara vihara. Vihar means pleasure, different types of material enjoyments. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito. Vijito means they were victorious. Vijaya, you've heard the word vijaya. Jaya and vijaya mean victory. Same. There are two words that have the same meaning. So nidra hara vihara kadi vihara adi and the like, all the material pleasures. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijito chatyanta dino. Then they were very poor. Chayo. This is the Shad Goswami Ashtakam. So they set the example. It's very difficult to follow. Very difficult. Then should we give up the process because we could not follow 100% and become like the six Goswamis? No. We have to keep trying. We have to keep trying. We have to see the goal. The goal is total material detachment, but it's not so easy. Why? Why should we become detached? Because we're supposed to be nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. We're supposed to be attached. Sambandha means relationship. Our relationship should be with Krishna. That's not so easy to establish. Therefore, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam. Bhakti yoga is dependent on detachment. It's not so easy to become detached. I can't sit here and say that I've become detached. But that's the ideology. We may not be perfect. Actually, we're taking a bath. Sadaka means endeavoring to get free from the lower modes of nature. So that endeavor may take a long time. It may take lifetimes. Our ideals are there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying for Krishna 24 hours a day. We are not on that level. He was exhibiting the mood of a devotee, of a perfect devotee. And to attain that, to pretend is easy. To pretend, sahajiya, that's easy. To roll on the ground in Navadvipa and say, Gauranga, Gauranga. And there's a lot of, you know, charlatans. Therefore, they were condemned. These fellows are just putting on an act. Show bottle. Right? Prabhupada said, show bottle, medicine. Water in a bottle that looks like medicine but does not work to cure the disease. Making a show of bhakti does not bring one to the highest platform, which is freedom from the modes of nature and engaging in, you know, pure devotional service. Practice. We have to practice. That's the conclusion. So we are struggling with these modes, and the struggle to give up our attachment to those modes will go on. We have to be conscious of that. We cannot just wish, well, the modes should go away. They don't. They're so powerful. Otherwise, we would all be Jivan Muktas. We would all be liberated right now. And we would leave our body. Right? There's a famous story in South India. There's a Sri Vaishnava lady, right? Andal. You know Andal? You heard the name of Andal, right? So, she decided that she would only marry Lord Ranganath in Sri Rangam. Ranganath is Krishna. And so there was a great procession. They have these festivals. And she was so absorbed in Ranganath that she left her body. She gave up her life. Like Lord Shiva's wife, who was that Sati. Right? Shiva, the first incarnation of his wife is Sati, Daksha's daughter. And she burned her body to ashes because her father insulted her husband. Daksha Prajapati insulted Shiva. This is in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto. Then one has to be so determined that they would even give up their life. But another way of giving up your life is to become like the six Goswamis, right? Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijito, to conquer sleep, to conquer eating. It's easy to talk. I couldn't do it. Haridas Thakur was taking only buttermilk. Shukadev is described here. He didn't care for his parents, he didn't care for clothing. He was Digambara. You know this word, Digambara? Dik means the directions. Ambara means covering. He was covered by the directions, not by cloth. He was wandering naked. And he would only go to a householder's house when they were milking the cow we talked about yesterday. The evening, I guess, maybe even in the morning. And he would take a little milk and that was his food. Just to keep body and soul together. They realized that the body itself was the binding force. The body is binding us. But to be perfectly detached from the body. So therefore the Vedic system is gradual, right? Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Gradual detachment. Retirement and then total detachment from family life. I was in Hyderabad. Prabhupada was lecturing 10,000 people every day in 1975, April. And one man, after the lecture, there were questions and answers. And one man said, Krishna came in my house and Krishna you know, help me do this, and Krishna helped us do that. I can't remember the exact details. And then Prabhupada said, why are you bringing your family into this if you have seen Lord Krishna? Because Krishna is beyond family attachments. When there's some kind of desire for material benefit from God, then it's called karma mishra bhakti. When there's devotion, you think of Krishna and you devote yourself, but you, Krishna, save me from some circumstance or give me some wealth. Gita, Krishna says that they're pious people, right? Artharti. Chaturvidha bhajante mam janaha sukritino arjuna sukritinaha. Su, good. Kritinaha, kriti, action, a good action. Artharti, somebody who wants wealth, is a good person. Why? Chaturvidha bhajante mam, because they belong to four types of people who worship me. But actually, the desire for wealth is material. So how can you get liberation if you have the desire to be wealthy? Isn't it? If you have a desire to be wealthy, then where is the Tyaktva Turnamashesha Mandala Pati Shrenim Sadat Tuchavat Bhutva Dina? They became poor. Ganesha Ko Karunaya Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijito. All these things are written. Then in Gita it says if you have a desire for wealth, and but if you surrender, you're pious. Yes, you're pious. And you will be blessed, but that's not the aim, right? The aim is to give it all up ultimately. What? People come, what is that? There's a story like that, that I was looking for some material wealth, but I got the greatest wealth, which is bhakti. What is the greatest wealth? Was it Prahlad or Dhruva? Dhruva story. Thank you. Dhruva went in the forest. Why? So that he could sit on the lap of his father. Material. That's not a spiritual aim. Right? Then somehow because of his tapasya, because of his renunciation, giving up food, giving up water, standing on one leg, a little boy, Lord Vishnu came. What do you want? Oh my Lord, I wanted something material, petty, nonsense. But now that I see you, I've gotten the greatest wealth. So what do I need that for? I was foolish. But even then, Krishna says if they surrender to me, even if they have some material aim, artaha, someone who's suffering, right? I have some disease, or I'm poverty-stricken, or there, you know, I'm in some kind of a bind. So then I say, Lord, help me. So if they come to Krishna with that, like Dhruva, they get blessed. But they have to also realize that these things are petty. Dhruva realized. Even then, he went back to the Varnashram system. He killed so many, what, yakshas, isn't it? It's not that he became a sannyasi in the forest. He didn't. So what does it mean? So gradually, there's a system. You gradually elevate yourself. Or, like Krishna told Arjuna, fight thinking of me. The aim was not just to get rid of Duryodhana, but the aim was to please Krishna. It's sometimes hard to separate the two because they achieved that. The famous verse in Gita, Tasmatvam Uttishta Yashola Bhasva. Now get up. Jitva Shatrum, conquer your enemies. Rajam Bhungshva Samriddham, and enjoy the prosperous kingdom. That's material. Apparently, right? te vaite nihita purvameva. I have already killed them. Nimitta matra bhavasavya sachin. O Arjuna, you become my instrument. Zindagita. Bhunkshva, enjoy. Rajam samriddham, the abundancy of being a raja, being the king of the Hastinapur. Hasti, elephants. Enjoy fabulous wealth, meant elephants. Not today, it's cars and airplanes, right? The rich people have their private airplanes. You see these small jets flying here and there. Previously, the wealth meant lots of elephants, horses, cows, pashudhan. Pashupahi, the first verse of the Yajurveda is like that. Pashumpahi. The Vedas, in the Vedas, protection of animals. And, those who had a lot of animals, they were blessed. But modern civilization is so much in the mode of ignorance, so sinful that they're killing thousands and thousands of animals at every moment. So there's a big difference between, although it seems materialistic, and when you say enjoy the kingdom, but you enjoyed in the Vedic civilization. Prabhupada said there's sattvic enjoyment, pleasure in the mode of goodness. Now, you have to transcend that also. Those who were devotees of Krishna did it. Then we believe the Pandavas transcended the material pleasures, because their highest pleasure was actually associating with Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question? Time is up. Yeah, Prabhu. Oh, take the mic.
Thank you. In terms of four pious people who come to approach Krishna, I'm just curious, and generally a big part of Hindu culture, what we see in a lot of temples, either in the US or abroad or in India, where people are coming with a very specific purpose, because college exams are coming, or because some family. So what do you suggest, how as devotees can we begin to just introduce a little different way of thinking about approaching the deity or approaching Krishna?
Right. They're actually not surrender. They are coming to Krishna. You know, they come to the temple, so they're asking Lord Krishna, help me with some material thing. So that's karma mishra, right? Devotion that's mixed with the desire for some material gain. So it's not pure devotion. Right? So how to cure this disease, right? That's basically the question. Or how to change their mentality from a mixed devotion to a pure devotion. They have to read the Shastras. They have to read the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, or hear, like in a class, like in a lecture. They have to hear that. They have to hear the instructions, Upadesha Amrita, the nectar of instruction. They have to hear those instructions from a devotee. And so they may or may not want to. It's not compulsory. It cannot be compelled or forced. However, preaching mission means to a try by distributing the books is one way. Because even if they hear a lecture, they may not come for the next lecture. Like when I joined, I came every day for 3 weeks, every evening, and heard Gita. Every evening we had the whole Gita over in Evanston when the temple was there in the 1970s. At least when I joined in the beginning of 73, there was a Gita every night recitation of one chapter and a lecture on one verse. And so in 3 weeks, we must have covered all the chapters, right? 18 chapters is 21 days is 3 weeks. So maybe we covered the whole Gita. reading the translation in English. I also remember before I joined, I read the entire Gita, the translations. There are other devotees who joined, because, I mean, I just met some new devotees when I was almost 2 months in a new Taliban, if you've heard of it, down in the south. And a couple boys joined, and they still hadn't, after living in the temple for 4 months, one particular bhakta hadn't read the whole Gita. So then how will he be convinced of the philosophy of Gita? So we have to, Gita is really the basis, foundational, we can say, scripture, if we say it in English, for our, Gita Upanishad. It's a synopsis of all the Upanishads. So study of Gita is very important. So if we can somehow bring people to study the Gita, hopefully, they would change their outlook on life. That's the great hope. And many people have changed. Prabhupada used to say, there is great hope. He passed away, it'll be 40 years this year. 40, so it's 39 plus now, right? 39 completed. But the effect that his commentary on the Gita has had is tremendous, even if we're only 10 people or 15 people sitting here. But if you take the whole world, how many languages Prabhupada's commentary has been translated, and the preaching work is still going on. Okay, in India it's going on more, for sure. And you know, Prabhupada actually wanted to target India. Here, sitting here and saying that, it might not be so pleasant to hear, because, well, what about this place? But if you look at the life of Prabhupada and read his conversations, lectures, purports, letters, you know, he put his time and money into building big projects over there. And being born in India is a special blessing, because Vedic culture is more intact. We were on the train platform in Nellore. This is January 3rd, 1976. And Prabhupada came in the train from Chennai, and Chennai was Madras at that time. And what a reception he got. I mean, there were thousands of people. And, you know, the girls with the coconuts, have you seen that? And then the Nadaswarams, the musical instruments, the drums, the Brahmins chanting Vedic mantras, and the townspeople. And Prabhupada turned to this small group of disciples and said, Vedic culture is more intact in South India. He told us like that. So I mean, but the whole India, compared to the rest of the world, has Vedic culture in many different ways. Even Prabhupada used the example of the dead elephant. The elephant may be dead, but still valuable. The tusks are valuable. The skin is valuable. Everything, even a dead elephant. So even if India is not being ruled by Vedic kings, as described in the Bhagavatam, but still whatever Vedic culture is there is valuable. Unfortunately, you know, there are different misinterpretations of Gita, or there are non-Vedic concepts, secularism, communism, Christianity is being propagated from people from the United States and other places. People are being converted to Christianity, and so they think that they can kill cows and it's not sinful, which is a ideological lacuna. It's a big mistake. So we have to encourage study of Gita and distribution of Gita. Keep pushing on, because it's a never ending. It's been going on for thousands of years. But this is a revival, no doubt. There were kings, as The last king that went away was the king of Nepal. He was the last Hindu king. And the Hindu kings, the Vedic kings, taught, you know, Vedic culture and Vedic shastras. They patronized a Vedic civilization. To establish that all over the world looks like it's going to take generations. Who knows? There is a hope. There is a hope. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. Yeah, Prabhu.
Bhashu Ghosh Prabhu, you were explaining the standard that is placed, you know, by great devotees such as the Six Goswamis. And during the class, you explained that just as the Lord is Nirguna Tvat, the devotee also should come to that position of being unaffected by the modes of material nature. And that's a standard that we're looking, but you know, now we're not there. And you mentioned in the class, you know, the gradual process that is there, that it can take even lifetimes to actually being able to overcome that. Being affected by the modes of nature while trying to perform devotional service is not a very, you know, wholesome or pleasant experience. Right. You know, it's actually quite divisive internally. What things would you say, you know, in terms of for us sadhakas, you know, to actually take into mind that, you know, Prabhupada wanted us. He is his command to actually, you know, within this lifetime, you know, become free from the modes of nature, become a pure devotee. So, what is those things that we have to keep in mind while in the shower, and don't be discouraged or, you know, constantly harassed by our own conditions?
It's a very good point. Very good question. Thank you. First thing is morality, niti. And in order to know what is correct morality, we should be studying Dharma Shastras. And Prabhupada, in the Gita 16:7, Prabhupada mentions very clearly the study of Dharma Shastras. Manu Smriti is the law book for humanity. He said Manu Samhita. So our moral code is four regulative principles. That's just a basic outline of how we should behave morally. So without behaving morally, then we cannot uplift ourselves out of the mode of ignorance, right? So that someone who strictly adheres to the moral code will become advanced quicker than someone who could not. But if someone could not adhere to the moral code, well, there were at least time and circumstance, Prabhupada was lenient. He was strict in the instructions, but when he came to personally dealing with, you know, those who violated the moral codes, he was forgiving and kind. So that doesn't mean we should encourage immorality. It shouldn't be taken like that. But if someone was trying, but he slipped, and he couldn't control his senses, Prabhupada had mercy on those. The specific example was a particular sannyasi. He's passed away, but his name was Madhudvisa, if you heard his name. And he was in charge of New York, and he was in charge of Australia. He couldn't maintain the sannyas ashram. He, you know, had some, you know, moral problems and some affairs with some ladies. And because of the shame that when it became public, he left ISKCON. And then in Prabhupada's last days, he came to Vrindavan to meet Prabhupada. He was very attached And Prabhupada had a lot of affection for him. So Prabhupada said, please don't leave the institution. Be a householder. Be a grihastha. So one thing I think, this is my subjective opinion, you know, we who weren't born in Vedic India, in the Vedic families, we didn't have good sanskaras, you know, these impressions in the childhood. We were given the wrong teachings. You know, we were taught to eat meat. We were taught to drink alcohol. We were taught to, you know, take intoxicants, even by our parents in some cases. Well, as far as meat eating and alcohol, probably in all the cases. And the other intoxicants in some cases. Those who had hippie or liberal parents, you know, in this country. But, so Prabhupada had some leniency towards, but there's, in one purport in the ninth canto, where Prabhupada clearly writes that a woman from a higher caste, so higher caste doesn't apply to Western women, if she remarries after being married for a first time, if she remarries, then it's a shame on her family. I have this at my computer, but well, it's in the ninth, it's coming up. I can't remember the exact place right now as I speak. You know, nine, whatever. Whichever chapter and whichever verse. But it's there. Now, I've seen in this country, that morality doesn't exist. Remarriage for women is like, taking a glass of water. So Prabhupada mentioned higher castes. Well, in this country, there's no caste system. Everyone is a lower than Shudra, Malecha and Yavana, right? Shudras have some connection with Vedic culture. We didn't have any connection. That's no excuse, in a sense, because once you were taught what is the Vedic morality, we should adhere to it. But it's not being adhered to. So, you know, there is a difference. There is a difference. At least Prabhupada made the distinction. He wrote clearly, women from the higher castes. And that meant Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya. These are the Dvijatis. Those who have the Yajnopavit Sanskar, the Brahmin thread. And the castes that don't have it are the Shudras. And he wrote that this is common amongst the Shudras. Remarriage. For women. For men, it wasn't like that. A man could remarry. But a woman was not allowed to remarry. And there are many cases of women, they were widowed and they wouldn't remarry. Prabhupada made a comment that a widow can remarry if, number one, she didn't have any children. Number two, she never saw her husband. How is it possible for a wife to never see the husband? In this country, people would be surprised. How could the wife never see the husband? But in India, and even today, marriages are done when they're very young. And then the girl doesn't join her husband until after physical maturity, or even later. There are many communities, especially this cowherd community, where this practice is still going on. At very early age, they consummate the marriage. So the psychology, Prabhupada mentioned this. It's almost quote-unquote, the psychology is that the girl feels she has a husband. Quote-unquote, Prabhupada. So that's part of morality. There are many other types of morality, like lying, straightforward dealings. You know, it's very easy to tell a lie. But according to Vedic morality, you should never tell a lie. Now, there's the story of Krishna telling Yudhishthir to tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama was killed. You know this story? So Yudhishthir was Satyavadi. He never told a lie. But Lord Krishna told him, that's the only way to win this battle. You know, sometimes, what is it? What is the statement in English? There's an English saying, in love and war, anything is fair, right? Everything is fair in love and war. So there's a famous in Sanskrit, Ashwatthama hataha. Ashwatthama is killed. Narova kunjarova. It may be a man, maybe an elephant. So when Yudhishthir said, I cannot tell a lie that Ashwatthama is killed, Bhima went and killed an elephant named Ashwatthama. So now Ashwatthama hataha. Ashwatthama is killed. Maybe a man, maybe an elephant. So at that moment, Lord Krishna blew Panchajanya, Shank. So Dronacharya could not hear Narova Kunjarova. He couldn't hear man or elephant. He only heard Yudhishthir saying, Ashwatthama hataha. So he sat down in yoga. And then Drishtadyumna came and cut off his head. This is the Mahabharata story. So there's regular morality is to be straightforward. And we know so many devotees have cheated other devotees. So these devotees are not very advanced devotees. We should still encourage them in devotion. That's the point. But if they really want to advance, then yeah, the six Goswamis, but that's very difficult. So Dhruva was told, go back to your kingdom. Dhruva at that point, he didn't want to go back to the kingdom. He was right in front of the Lord. Or the wives of the Brahmanas. That's another good example. The wives of the Brahmanas, the cowherd boys were told by Krishna, go to the Brahmanas and beg food. Brahmanas said, no, who is this Krishna and Balaram? We're not giving you anything. Boys came back to Krishna. They didn't give us anything. Go to their wives. They're my devotees. Dvijapatnis. You've heard the story, right? You know the story? You know the story? You know the story? She knows. You know. Couple. You don't know. You know? No, you know the story? No, you know. You know? No. You know? No. It's not your fault. So Krishna sent the cowherd boys to the wives of the Brahmins. So they took profuse foodstuffs. They said, we're hungry and we're coming on behalf of Krishna and Balaram. We want some food. So lots of food they took, and their husbands and the brothers, and they tried to stop them. Don't go. You cannot go. This is immoral. How can a woman go to some unknown other man taking all the food? No, no, we're going. And they went. And when they went and brought all the food, Lord Krishna said, thank you very much. I'm very pleased. Now go back home. How can we go back home? We disobeyed our fathers. We disobeyed our brothers. We disobeyed our, you know, family members to come to you. We have nothing else but you. They will accept you. Go back. Interesting, huh? Very interesting. Does it apply to this question? I think it does. Because we're in the material body. We have mostly people are householders. No offense to the brahmacharis sitting here who have dedicated their lives to preaching. But 99% of human society becomes a householder. In fact, that's the Vedic system. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. If you can remain a brahmachari for the rest of your life, it's, Prabhupada said, you can get liberation just by remaining a brahmachari. But the general system is, live in the house, right? Grihe tako, vane tako. You might live in a forest, you might live in the house. Sada hari bole. So you should always chant Hare Krishna. But the wives were told to go home, and they went home, and they were accepted back. It's not that Krishna said, okay, here's a Pushpa Viman, now go. But for Dhruva, the Pushpa Viman came. So at that time he said, I can't go without my mother. Because she, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have seen Vishnu. So he took her with him. Krishna could have taken those wives of the Brahmins at that point, but he didn't. So there's certain precedent set by that. Certain precedent. Boy, I have a jammed nose. Just cold here. I wish I was in New Taliban. Oh, sorry. I wish I was back in New Taliban. It's just cold. It's not, it's all relative, yeah. The material energy is, I'm in a material body. So we're in the material body. We cannot, just by saying, you know, Pushpabhiman, come and take me to Vaikuntha right now. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Time has gone by. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Kishore Kishori Ki Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sudarshan Chakra Ki Jai. Ram Nomi Mahamahotsav Ki Jai. Oh, Hare Krishna.